I have a thought, a burden, or a message, or a Bible lesson that I would like to bring forth by the help of the Lord. And I just rather some of my other brothers or sisters would go ahead. But it seemed like no one moved out. So that's kind of my little angle of it, is the Lord gives me a message. Seems like He gives me one for every service, but I just wait and see if anybody else has and let them have the first angle at it. But I want to have a little lesson from our teachings of our blessed Jesus, which I love and cherish in my heart, what Jesus taught. And this is one of, to me, one of the greatest of His lessons, teaching, found in the 13th chapter of Matthew and in the 4th chapter of Mark and in the 8th chapter of Luke. And it is the lesson about the four different grounds, kinds of ground in people's hearts. And I just want to have this brought forth, Lord helping us. I've got copies of the other two here with me that I'm going to refer to. I like to do that. I like to compare and bring out the other two or other three of the Gospels and see how they bring it. And sometimes they have a little better angle than the other. And so I am very much in love with my dear Jesus' teachings. And this is one of the greatest, to me, of the greatest of His teachings. In the 13th chapter of Matthew, it says here, great multitudes, verse 2, great multitudes were gathered together. So He went out into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the floor, on the shore. And He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and fowls came and devoured it up. Then some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness or depth of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Now you see, the first one was seed sown by the wayside. So it didn't have any ground or anything to take hold of to grow. So the fowls of the air, it was just laying there, and the fowls of the air just came and took it up. And then the next one was, it was stony ground where there wasn't much earth. And it had enough earth, though, that it sprung up kind of quickly. But it didn't have any depth. And when the sun was up, it scorched. And they had no root, and it withered away. And then it said, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And so you see, there is something else. There's another kind of ground. There were thorns and thistles and weeds and all kinds of other things there. And it sprung up, but the thorns and the other things choked them. And then it said, other fell onto good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now that's a very key scripture in that. He who has ears to hear, he who has a desire to hear, he who has a willingness to listen and consider, he who has a willing to apply it to his own personal life. So you see, This is why Jesus just spoke in parables and spoke it out and didn't explain it to everybody, because it is testing who is really earnestly desiring to hear the truth of His Word. And it's that way today, dear ones. It is that way today. The truth is preached, the truth is taught, but if you don't have a mind to hear it, if you don't have a desire for it, you will not get it, and the devil is right there, as we'll see in his explanation. The devil is right there to rob you of that and keep you from getting a hold of truth. This is why God, in His Word, He has set forth His Word, and for us, it's not going to force it on anybody. He doesn't force Himself on anyone. You have to have a desire and a willingness and a submission in your heart. You have to have an interest in what is being said. Otherwise, the devil is going to take it out of your mind and get you involved with everything else. Oh, may the Lord help. Now listen, I want to dwell a little bit on the disciples coming and asking Him, why are you talking to these people in parables? Why are you doing this? Now this is what He said, and He answered in verse 11, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, to you, my disciples. Well, now, why are they any better qualified to receive them than anybody else? Why? You ever stop to think about it? Because to you it is given, but to them it is not given. Who is them? Them, the people, just the normal, natural or ordinary run of society. To them, it is not given. It ought to be. They ought to have it, but they're not in a condition to receive it. Did you know it's that way today? It's that way today. Come to camp meeting. Some people are hungry, attentive, open, desirous, searching, reaching, longing for knowledge and wisdom and understanding, and some are just here, just, well, I don't know why, they're just having for a good time, I guess. Now listen. For whosoever, I want you to notice this verse, because Jesus spoke this two or three other places in His teachings. Now just listen. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Whosoever hath what? That's a good question. What's he talking about? Whosoever hath, looks like there's maybe an absence of a word there. But I believe you can see it if you'll do a little thinking and studying. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But to him, whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Now I want to tell you where this scripture came alive to me one time. Years ago, when I was first starting in the ministry, was at the Guthrie Camp Meeting. And I was taking recordings of the messages on my reel-to-reel tape recorder. You know, some of you don't know what that is. But that's a recorder where the reels were 7-inch reels like that. And I had bought one. I had bought a tape recorder. And I was using it to record messages. And anyway, I had it set up by the pulpit. I had it set up with the microphone by the pulpit. And I went, I got the morning, I thought I did. I had the morning message. I went and turned it on and pushed the button to get it started. And then I went on. Well, now, in the afternoon service, I was going to get another message, and I went up when it's time to turn it on, I went up, and what I was going to do is I'll turn the tape over to do the other side, and I looked, and what did I find? I found my microphone not plugged in. And that told me two things. That told me that I didn't get the message that morning, which was a real good message. My dear sister over there in Fairview, Oklahoma, I can't think of her name. She was a minister. She was a real godly woman. And I didn't get that message. And not only that, but it was a tape that I had used for something else, and I didn't have one, so I thought I'd go ahead and I'd heard that other message, another message on it. I thought I'd go ahead and record over that. I didn't get her message, and I lost the message I had. And when that dawned on me, I went back to my seat, and they were going to prayer. And I thought, look what I did. I didn't get the message, and I lost what I had. And then the Lord spoke to me this scripture. Whosoever has, to him shall be given. In other words, if you have the right contact, if you've got the means to hear, and you want to hear, and you're all connected up with the contact and with the microphone, spiritually speaking, then you'll get it. But if you don't have, you're going to lose what you got. Did you know it's that way in life? It's that way with us and God. If you have a willingness, if you have an open mind, if you have a heart that's receptive, if you have a heart that's willing to believe and apply it, you're going to get the message. You're going to, I tell you, dear ones, I've been listening to the Word of God for years and years. Ever since I've been saved now, 56 years. And I've heard messages that I still remember, still in my mind today. Oh, dear ones, it's wonderful to hear the Word of God and to let it enter your heart and be a part of your life. And I know there are others that have just heard it just with these literal ears, and it didn't do them any good, and they forgot it. And it, not only that, but it does a person damage in their life to have a lack of respect and honor for God's Word, for this Holy Bible, for what Jesus taught. We need to have high respect for it and regard for it. And Jesus knew that a lot of these people out there were of that sort. They were just here for the loaves and the fishes. They were just here because the big crowd was here. Why are you here at Monarch today? What's your purpose here? Having good dinners over in the dining hall? Are you enjoying playing around with your friends? What are you here for? I tell you, dear ones, we need to be sincere and open-minded and earnest in our hearts before God. Because we have the Word of God going forth. I tell you, I was so blessed yesterday. I had a message on my heart about the great Jesus at the right hand of God. And I was so inspired with that. And Brother Ed Wilson got up, and he dwelt on a scene that I have feasted on over and over through the years. The scene of the two men on the road to Emmaus. And I'll tell you, you talk about some glory that I felt in my innermost being when his message united with what I had. And Jesus at the right hand of God interceding for us. Oh, dear ones, it was just wonderful. Listen, you want to have that kind of a regard for God's Word. You want to respect and love it. It's the truth. You believe this here about Jesus, these Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you believe that's true? You children, do you know, do you believe it's true? Do you believe there was really a man named Jesus who did all those wonderful miracles, who died and gave his life and shed his blood on Calvary, and that he did that for you and for me, for our redemption? And do you believe that he was resurrected from the dead on that Lord's Day morning? And that 40 days later, he ascended up out of their sight unto the right hand of God. That's where he is today interceding for us. And that he's coming again one of these days. Do you believe that? I'm going to tell you, if you believe it, you're going to do something about it. Now, I could go on more about that. Jesus did quote, when he answered them, when they asked him, he says, why do you speak to these people in parables? And he said that because they see not. And he quotes from Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 6, and Isaiah was in the temple and he saw the glory of God and he said, oh, woe is me, I'm undone, I'm a man of unclean lips, in the midst of a people of unclean lips, mine eyes have seen the Lord, the Lord of hosts. And one of the angels came with some coals from the fire of the Lord and touched his tongue and said, now your sin is forgiven, your iniquity is purged. And then he heard the voice of the Lord say, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And he says, here am I. Lord, send me. And then that's when the Lord said, go and say to this people, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. See, he quotes from Isaiah there. Now, if you look in Isaiah, that chapter, I want to read just a little further down in that. Isaiah 6. And this is what the Lord told Isaiah, just what I read in Matthew. And then in verse 11 it says, then said I, Lord, how long? What do you mean by that? How long am I going to have to do it this way? Speak, and so they that hear not won't hear. Those that don't see won't see. How long am I going to do it this way? When can I start getting something accomplished? Just listen to what the Lord said. You think about it yourself. I'm not going to try to explain it all. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord has removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. Now, that's some deep words there, some conditions in humanity. It's the same today. It's still going on today. God has a way of communicating His gospel. But it's not going to please everybody. There's some people it's not going to do them any good because of the attitude and the spirit of the world, like we heard this morning. The spirit of lust and covetousness and strife and vanity and pride is keeping many people from hearing and perceiving the message of God's word. Listen. Yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return. There's going to be some that's going to hear it. Are you going to be one of them? In it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, as an oak whose substance is in him, when they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance. These truths that Jesus brought are going to be received, but not by everybody. But everybody's going to have a chance to hear it. Everybody is going to have, God's going to work some way to have you have a chance to hear, but you're going to have to be responsible and responsive to hear and to get the good. So, anyway, I thought I would work on that a little bit. But now, I don't want to be too lengthy with this, but I want us to notice in our lesson here the four different grounds that the gospel is sown upon back in Jesus' time and also in our time. Some fell, and as he sowed, some fell. Seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. All right? Now, that was the parable. But now, after his disciples came and talked to him, he opened up to them what that meant. So I want us to look at this. And if somebody would mind getting Mark chapter 4 and starting at verse 3 and read down through verses, just 3 and 4. Oh, I guess, I'll just go ahead and read that. This is what Mark said. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. It came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Now let's see what Luke said. A sower went out to sow his seed. As he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. See, now he has a little extra there, doesn't he? And the fowls of the air devoured it. Now then, let's notice what Matthew said when Jesus explained what that was about. Hear ye, verse 18, hear ye the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. Now that's one key. That's one clue about why they don't get it. They hear the word, but they don't understand it. In other words, it don't ring a bell in their mind to help them to know what's going on, what's it about. It makes me think, when I was a young boy at Guthrie, where I was raised, and we attended services with the saints at the church chapel on 6th and Warner, I can remember times when I would sit in the service and Brother Pruitt, our pastor, or any other brother, I would sit there while he preached. You know what the best part of the message was? When I saw him close his Bible. The reason that was the best part was because I knew he was about through. Now you can wonder how much of the message I got. I didn't get anything. I was just enduring it. How do you get along when the message is preached? Are you glad to see the preacher close his Bible? Whew! I'm glad he's finally going to wind it down. That's no way to be. I'm glad after I got saved and I started living for the Lord, I began to apply myself to listen to the Word of God preached. I'll never forget a message that summer, 1956. I had just gotten saved a few weeks before this. And I wanted to go to Monarch Springs that year. I did. I went with some of the other young people. I got a ride. I didn't have a car then, so I got a ride. And I came up here, and I remember feasting on the messages. I thank the Lord for that. And I'll never forget a message that Brother Isaac Chandler, he was a dear brother from Bakersfield, California, and he preached a message on the love of God and why it is and how it is that He can be so precious to us. He is so valuable. And I just wept. It just touched my heart. It inspired my heart. How do you feel when the message goes forward? What does it say here? He that receiveth... Oh, I was wanting to read this in Mark. I did read that in Mark, didn't I? Some of the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Well, now let's go to the next one. Now, we could go on about that, but that's a sad thing. There's just so many people. They're not in a condition to hear the Word of God, to hear the Bible read or taught, and it doesn't do them any good. And the devil comes and takes it away. Then cometh, now Matthew says, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in the heart. And Mark says, when they have heard, these are they which are sown by the wayside. When the word is sown, when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately. See, he just names it out. Matthew says the wicked one, and Mark says Satan. So you see where Satan is contesting the work of the gospel in the hearts of people. Yes. And we have that. People just hear it, but the devil's right there, and he got all other kinds of junk and stuff on their mind, and he'll take that out of their mind, and they won't receive it. Oh, Lord, help. That's awful. Okay, now let's go to the stony places. Matthew 20:13-20. He that receiveth seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet he has not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by, he is offended. Now, see what we've got here? We've got someone that heard it real good and really took it in, but they didn't have any depth. There was no real concern and care and interest. There was no real desire. They heard it, yes. Oh, well, that is good. Oh, yes. But after a while, trouble, this time, and different things, and it just gets away from them. In Mark, it says, some fell on stony ground. Let's see. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, no root, no depth, no, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Now that I've known of people like that. They just seem like glad to hear the truth and rejoicing in it, and then after a while, where are they? They've taken their flight. And in Luke, here's what Luke says. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in the time of temptation fall away. Now that's pretty serious. I don't know. It's just sad. Time of temptation. You know, I was thinking about one individual in the Bible. I want to make mention of this. One individual in the Bible that he heard Jesus teaching. He saw Jesus' miracles. He was with Jesus and the disciples going around, and he saw everything that Jesus did as he was with the other disciples. But still, he allowed something else to get in his heart. Remember who that was? Judas. Judas had as much a chance as Peter and James and John. He was with them all the time. But he had no depth. And the reason why he had no depth was because he had stuff in his heart he ought not to have had. And one of those things was covetousness. And even one of the disciples, or one of the Gospels tells about whenever Mary came and bowed down, and, well, Cain didn't bow down, but she came and she poured this oil on Jesus' head. And one of the Gospels tells it was Judas that said, why you do this waste? You should have saved that, and that could have been sold for so much, and the money given to the poor. And whoever it was, I think it's John that told that. Anyway, he said it wasn't because he wanted to help the poor, but it was because he had the bag and carried what was in the bag. See, that's what Judas... Why did Judas bargain with the chief priests and the scribes for Jesus to sell him for 30 pieces of silver? You ever study that out? Why did he do that? He had covetousness in his heart. He bargained with them for 30 pieces of silver. And I have a feeling like this. He believed that Jesus was going to save himself and not allow himself to be crucified. He believed that. And he thought he'd go ahead and sell him like this, and he's going to save himself, and I'll have some money in the deal. You ever think about that? And then, whenever Judas, Matthew tells us this, when Judas saw that he was condemned, Jesus was condemned, then he was sorry for what he did, and he went and tried to give the money back. And they wouldn't take it. And in despair and frustration and anger, he threw the money down and went out, and what did he do? What makes people want to commit suicide? the devil in their hearts, deceiving them and making them think that there's no hope and you might as well end it all. And they don't think about the hereafter. That poor Judas is going to be in the judgment. And he would not repent and straighten up. He was sorry he did it, but he didn't want to acknowledge it like he should, and he went out and ended it all. Oh, Lord, help. Now let's notice the next one. He that receiveth the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world. Here we had a message about the world this morning. I tell you, that was a real message. I pray, Lord, to help everyone to really give it the consideration. This world's in an awful mess. The cares of this world, care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. The care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Now let's see what Luke says, how Luke brings that out. That which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Did you know, just like we heard this morning, cares and riches and pleasures of this world will choke out any kind of spiritual adoration or longing in your heart. It'll kill it out. I know. I was one time a young high school student, and I had a worldly girlfriend, and I had desires for earthly things. I wanted to get a college education and make a lot of money, and I wanted that. And as long as I held on to those things, I could not get anywhere with God. But there came a day when I saw what I needed to do. And I gave it all up. I gave up the world. I gave up my plans. I gave up everything. And I'm thankful that I did, because the Lord has rewarded me so much. Those things will choke the Word of God out of your life. If you hear it, then you have these other desires. Oh, may the Lord help us. I'll never forget the day, I think I told about it the other day, that I was sitting back here, and a man and his wife came in and hadn't been there very long. Bless her heart, she was a real child of God, and she just keeled over and died right in front of me. And I remember how it stirred the young people. I didn't go to the altar like that night. I should have, but I didn't. Oh, dear ones, God wants to deal with our souls, but the devil has got things that will choke you out. Oh, may the Lord help us. Now let's look at the seed. Verse 23, he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, some forth and bringeth forth, some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Let's see what Luke says about it. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. See, now we need to have that. We need to be honest, and we need to have a good purpose in our heart, a good desire. Having heard the word, keep it. Don't let it get away from you. And bring forth fruit with patience. That's really good, isn't it? Now I want us to notice what Mark says. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, you know, dear ones, we're all of us getting the word of God sown in our hearts. We want to be sincere and earnest about it, because it's the most serious thing in your life is the gospel message of the truth, what the Bible teaches. And then not only do we have what Jesus taught, but we have the Acts of the Apostles telling about the early morning church. We have the epistles, the epistle to Romans by the Apostle Paul, then 1 and 2 Corinthians, then Galatians, then Ephesians, then Philippians, then Colossians, then 1 and 2 Thessalonians, then 1 and 2 Timothy, then Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. Oh, wonderful gospel of Hebrews. You like to study it? What's it about? Could you tell me what the main message of the gospel of the epistle of Hebrews is? I don't know. I think it might have been somebody else read it, but usually we think of the Apostle Paul. Then Hebrews, then James. Oh, that James, that's a wonderful. Study it. Get it in your mind. Did you know you need to get this in your mind before the Lord can really open it up to you? When the Lord opened that scripture I told you about a while ago, is because I had studied that and wondered about what that meant. And when it all come out, the Lord showed me what it meant. You've got to study. What did Paul say to Timothy? Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, rightly applying, rightly principally bringing it into your heart, the word of truth. We have to really work at this. It just don't come haphazardly and all of a sudden. No, you have to have a desire for it. Pray before you come to each service. Pray that the Lord will bless the songs. Oh, I feast on these songs. They're getting richer to me the older I get. Really. I love them. And oh, I love all the sacred songs. I got books galore in my house of sacred music. I just love it. Why? Because of the message that's in it from the Scriptures. So may the Lord help us today. Thank you for your time and your attention. We could have said a lot more, but that'll be enough.